Amen. So, research says that by the time Easter comes, everything we were excited about in January, all the goals we set, things that, you know, like, this is the new year, this is what's going to get me to the next level. By the time this time comes, most people are feeling worse than they did before, you know, in December. You're feeling worse. Thank you. You're feeling worse than you did, you know, in your low time. So how many of us here have ever felt or you're feeling like you're stuck in a rut? You feel like, you know, you're believing God. You're declaring the word of God. You're giving as, you know, the challenge, as we are challenged every week. You're giving. You're praying. You're fasting. But still, there's nothing that is happening in your life. How many of us in here, all these situations, I've been there, and some of them I'm in them right now. You know, you feel like you're just going through around the same mountain over and over and over again. Do you feel like everyone, thanks, Ellen. Do you feel like everyone around you is moving forward? Everything is progressing. Or do you feel like you're in the right place, but you don't know what to do to move on to that next level that God has been speaking to you, that stirring that's been happening in your spirit? The title of my message today is How to Navigate the Conception Season. So we, just like the seasons, is amazing. Ellen, where are you? She's talking about seasons. Just like there's seasons in the natural, there's summer, there's autumn, there's winter, and there's spring. The same seasons apply in the spirit realm. And so spring is that season of conception. And for most of us, that is where the dreams that God implants in our hearts start. So when we started this year, that was like our spring season. And God downloaded things for you to do. You know, some of us were saying, this is the year that I'm going to get out of debt. Some of us said, this is the year that I'm going to finally finish my university. Some of us were saying, this is the year I will not let depression take hold of me. Some of us were saying, this is the year that I'm going to serve in the house. Some of us were saying, this is the year that I'm not going to be behind, but I'm going to come forward. That is the spring season. So as Christians, this is not the time to be sleeping around. This is not the time for us to wait and say, oh, you know what? I've been saved by grace. Yes, we have been saved by grace, but we still live in the world. The Bible says we are not of the world, but we live in the world. So the enemy is there. He will attack. He will attack. But our job is to stay connected to God, is to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. So each of us in here this morning, we are in a season. But the question is, do you know what season you're in? Do you know what season you're in? And to know what season you're in, you just need to ask God. You say, God, Holy Spirit, what season am I in right now? And some of us, like I said, I really felt led to focus on the conception season because most of us, actually, if we do not navigate that conception season, that spring season, we will not get to the summer, to the winter, to the autumn. Amen. So do you know what God's strategy is for what you are going through now? Everyone in here, there's something that is bothering you. There's something that is possibly causing you sleepless nights. Have you actually asked God and said, God, what is your strategy for this situation in my life? Or we're just sleeping, you know, crying in the shower, crying on our pillow at night. Have we actually asked God to say, God, what is the strategy for this situation that is causing me heartache? What is the strategy for this situation that is making me feel like I don't belong anywhere? And when you know what the strategy is, you have to give that the final authority. And that means going against what the world is telling you. Sometimes it even means going against what your emotions are telling you. I'll read 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. It reads, From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times, and they knew the best course for Israel to take. So if you keep reading, you find that this tribe of Issachar, they were so informed with what God was doing. They understood the times. They understood the seasons. And this is the call that God has placed upon you and I today, that we need to understand the seasons that we're in. You need to understand the season that you're in your personal life. We need to understand the season that we're in as a church. We need to understand the season that we're in as the body of Christ in Australia. And we also need to understand the season that we're in as the body of Christ worldwide. Genesis 8, verse 22 reads, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." So whether we like it or not, seasons come and go. Seasons come and go. So God has set things to revolve around times and season. And this pattern will remain as long as the earth remains, as we've just read. There is value in every season. There's a lesson to be learned in every season. And there are also appropriate actions to take in each season. So spring, you know, that's when the flowers start to come up. Summer, most of us like to go to the beach. Winter, we are rugged up. We're in the long coats. Some people like to go skiing. Imagine trying to go skiing now, threadbare. I don't even think there's snow. But that is what some of us do. We're trying to do summer things in a winter season. We're trying to do winter things in a summer season. So our lives are the same. There are times where we plan. There are times when we dream. There are times when you prepare yourself to be able to achieve that dream. And then there are times where you cultivate what you've already planted. And then there's times where you harvest. Then there's times where you just sit and rest whilst that seed is making its way up to come up from the ground. So no season lasts forever. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, doing the right thing at the right time in the right season will accelerate your journey. So we read in Deuteronomy that the Israelites took 40 years to do what was meant to be an 11-day journey. So it could be the same in our lives right now, that instead of that 11-day journey happening in your life, you are going in circles. You're going round and round. So like the sons of Issachar, we need to understand the times in order for us to fulfill the assignment that God has for us in this season. So change is automatic. Change just happens. However, progress is not. So change is automatic, but progress is not. Night, morning come, you know, every 24 hours. Daylight saving, maybe the day is longer. In winter times, it might be shorter, but that happens. But if we want to progress, we have to decide what we do in that 24-hour period. We have to make a conscious decision that we are going to do something to go towards whatever God it is that God is leading us. Like I've said, each of us are in a season. And each season that you're in, there's actions. Matthew and Catherine are in a season of expectancy. You know, they're about to receive their beautiful baby. And there's joy in that. And they're preparing. I actually asked them months ago. I said, "Oh, so do you need anything?" They're like, "No, we've done everything." They've already appropriated that. They are ready, anticipating for the great blessing that is coming. And that's the same with our lives. So that thing that is on your heart that stirs, what are you doing? What are you planning for it? You know, you can't, most times as Christians, and I've done it, you know, you're like, "Oh, I'll speak the word, I'll declare the word." And that's the only thing you do. But there's always God's part. And there's always our part. You know, dreaming season, planning season, for some of us, things that have happened in our past stop us from progressing. So right now, there's someone in here saying, "Yes, I can hear what you're saying, but I've done that, tried that. I'm so disappointed. Some of us might be in a transition season. Some of us might be transitioning from high school to university to work. Some of us might actually be at the end of the career where God's saying, you know what, it's time for you to retire or resign from your job, for you to step into that next season. Some of us might be in a season of navigating young kids, which might not be pleasant, you know, sleepless nights. And some of us might be in a season of new beginnings, or, you know, there's just that expectation that something is about to happen. At the start of the year, we all asked God what our assignment was for 2018. So I encourage you to firmly hold on to whatever it is that God has spoken to you, regardless of what is happening around you. So conception, like I've said, this is the season of dreaming. This is the season of planning. This is an exciting season as it brings hope and anything is possible. So conception is the act of forming or devising of a plan or an idea. In this stage, we're tapping into what God wants us to do. In this stage, God's plan for our lives is conceived in our hearts and it is conceived in our minds. So when God looks at you and I, let's just take 2018. There is a plan that he has for you. There is a plan that he has for me. I'll read Genesis 15, verse 5. This is Abraham, and this is God. So he is God. God took Abraham outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said, "so shall your offspring be." From the time this was spoken, it wasn't until 25 years later that Abraham was holding Isaac. So that 25-year period is where most of us get stuck. You know, like, oh, God spoke it. How come it hasn't come to pass? If God's promises never change, what changes is our ability to hold on to those promises, is our ability to stay focused on that word. It says in James, don't be double-minded, and a double-minded man is unstable. So what is it that God has spoken to you? This morning I challenge you to keep your eyes on that thing, regardless of what the circumstances are saying. Like, you know, with seasons, when you plant a seed, I've heard bamboos, I think it's about maybe 8 years before they shoot from the ground. So for 8 years, nothing's happening, but the roots are getting deep. It could be the same with the dream that God has called you to. That yes, nothing seems to be happening in the natural, but he's getting those roots deep. So when it is time to actually step into whatever it is, you've got the capacity, you've got the strength, and you've got the ability to withstand whatever that season brings into your life. So the key in this season, when, you know, the season of conception, like I said, statistically, around this time, most people are feeling down, most people are feeling depressed, because it looks like nothing is changing in their lives. So the key in this season is not to be limited by your natural reasoning. Do not be limited by what your mind tells you. Your mind does not always tell you the truth, because your mind bases things on the past. So just because something happened to you once, twice, 20, 30 times, doesn't mean it's going to happen to you again. So maybe God hasn't implanted an idea, but you're resisting it, and you don't even want to hear it, and you're dismissing it. Like right in here, right now, there's things that God has spoken to some of us. We're like, God, I don't want to hear about it because I've walked that path and I've been disappointed. So are there things that you're not trying because you've tried once, twice, 20, 50 times and failed? Some of us in here, maybe we've tried to start a business and it failed, but that thing to start a business keeps rising up in you and you keep pushing it down. Some of us have had failed relationships and you vowed, you say, God, I've tried this relationship thing, it doesn't work. But Holy Spirit is stirring up within your spirit and saying, I need you to step out. I need you to be bold. Or maybe it's uni, you know, there's a lot of uni students here. You're like, God, I'm just like a past student. Stop saying that. We are called to be the heads and not the tails. We are called to be the head and not the tails. Are you losing hope about a specific situation you're in? Even in your marriage, maybe, you know, you're married, but the view and the vision you had is not what marriage is. And now you're even questioning that whole entity of marriage, saying, God, does marriage even work? Let's go back to what God said to us. Or maybe you're believing for your children to be saved, your husband to be saved. Or you're just believing for God's divine intervention. When there's a situation in your life, you're looking at it in the natural, it just seems impossible, like nothing. There's no answer. So I encourage everyone to this morning that we need to dream again. Proverbs 29:18 says, my people perish for lack of vision. Just because we've failed, I keep repeating myself, but just because we've been disappointed, just because you failed, just because you're in a season right now that is not what you expected, doesn't mean you have to be stuck in that place forever. Proverbs 29, I said, 18, my people perish because of lack of vision. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. These are not just words. These are not just words. This is the truth. This is the promise that God is speaking to you and God is speaking to me. So right now, just as I keep talking, just allow the Holy Spirit to plant the seed of conception in your spirit. God's plans for you and I are huge. They're big. Don't hold back on the grandeur of the dreams and the plans that God has put in you. Ephesians 3:20 says, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you dream of. So whatever the most biggest, enormous, ginormous thing you think, well, if God would do this in my life, he's going to do above that. That is what the word of God says. So as we dream again, we also need to allow God to heal us of those past disappointments and setbacks. You know, past disappointments can result in limiting beliefs. Past disappointments can start to impact even on our identity. You start to label yourself as that girl who can't walk that walk or that boy who can do that thing. Past disappointments can have such a devastating effect in our hearts. You know, just that brokenness. Past disappointments can isolate us from people. Past disappointments can isolate us from the dream that God has for us. Past disappointments can cause us to judge and criticize and have unforgiveness in our hearts. Past disappointments can cause us not to trust anyone ever again. You know, we put up walls. You're like, nah. That person hurt me. Therefore, anyone that looks like that person, I don't want them to come in a radius of 10 kilometers around me. So we need to allow God to validate us. You know, we live in a world where the world we live in, we're validated by likes, by people's comments, by people's posts, by people's view of who we are. But you know what? That changes overnight. Not even overnight. That changes instantly when the next great thing comes in that instant. So our value, our identity should be grounded in God. You know, God has been teaching me this year that as long as I know who I am in Him, I can do anything. As long as I know, so as long as you and I know who we are in Christ and we really believe that, you know, it's a daily journey. We really believe what he says, no matter what the world throws, no matter what words your friend, your partner, your spouse, your leader, your boss, your whoever, no matter what they say to you, it won't matter because you know who God says you are. So I'm just going to talk about some of the dangers of not dealing with past setbacks. We have all been disappointed. But if we do not deal with that disappointment, like I said, is going to hold us back from what God wants to do. One of the setbacks is it creates walls. So maybe your parents abuse you, and each time anyone who reminds you of them comes your way, or any authority figure comes. So maybe you don't even know. You know, sometimes if you're rebellious towards leadership, ask God why. Most times it's because someone in a previous leadership role or even our parents have done something that has deeply hurt us. And so that rebellion, that, oh, I don't want to submit, is because we're protecting ourselves from the hurt that we are fearing we're going to experience. So we immediately put walls up, we put guards up, and then we isolate ourselves. You know, it says in somewhere in the New Testament that good measure pressed down, shaken together, and men shall give unto your bosom. So as much as God is the giver, he does it through men. I think it's in Luke somewhere. Ah, thank you, Pastor Tony. It is in Luke. One of the dangers of not dealing with past setbacks is there's a blockage in stepping out again. There's that fear, there's that tentativeness of like, oh, you know, what, should I, shouldn't I? But that is a strategy from the enemy to stop us walking in our divine destiny. Fear of failure or even fear of the unknown. You know, some, like I've said, I've been there. Sometimes I am there with some things right now where God is pushing me in a certain direction, but like, oh my God, that I've never seen that modeled. I've never seen anyone do it in the combination that you're asking me to do. But that is not a reason for me to step out. Amen. That is not a reason for you not to step out. Or maybe you've got questions at the back of your mind saying, how am I going to do it? God, you're telling me to step out and start a business. What business is it? Who are going to be my partners? Where am I going to set up the business? Is it going to be in Australia? Is it going to be international? God will reveal those details when the right time comes. God will reveal those details when the right comes. I have a friend who once tried to step out in business and it failed. And the reason it failed is because she stepped out too early. But that passion is still there. And she's like, I can sense God saying I should step out. But she's like, I've tried it, I failed. I don't want to risk losing things. But that is where we need to be Spirit-led. That is where we need to be asking the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, this is what you're asking me to do. This freaks me out. You know, we need to go to God with openness and just honesty with our feelings. You know, when you read Psalms, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that's in the Bible. Because there's just a rawness of emotion that, you know, David or anyone who was writing just breaks it out. Another danger of not dealing with past setbacks is we can develop bitterness. We can develop resentment, unforgiveness towards others. Yeah. You know, when we step out, when we think or we have heard from God and it doesn't happen, we get disappointed at God sometimes. You're like, God, really? And that, again, is a strategy of the enemy. He doesn't want us to step out into our God-given abilities, God-given purpose, and God-given plan. So what does he do? He will place a wedge between God and I. He will place a wedge between people close to you. Another thing could be strife can begin to take root. The Bible says where there is strife, every evil thing exists. Every evil thing exists. So if you look into your relationships now, is there someone, if they'll call you, you're like, I don't want to hear them. I don't want to talk to them. Or if you see them walking, you're like, that's a sign there might be strife there that you need to deal with. And you know, when you're dealing with strife, it's about the heart. Even unforgiveness is about the heart condition. So you do your part. It doesn't matter what the other person does back. So if I've wronged Dorcas and I come and say, Dorcas, I'm sorry, And she's like, I'm not ready to forgive you. That's okay. Because I've gone. Her unforgiveness, that's her part to deal with. So in my personal life, when things haven't worked out, when I've stepped out, I've found that at times I will have stepped out too quickly in doing things. You know, you get so excited and God is telling you now is the time to step out. And you step out, but I'm not equipped yet. Or I'm not strong enough yet to be able to handle that thing that God is telling me. I've shared before, a few years ago, I applied for my current job. Everything, the selection criteria, I read through it. I was so confident. I was like, you know, I'm going to get this job. I even went and spoke to the chair, which you're allowed to. He's like, yeah, definitely put in your application. Oh, it's good that I know you're interested in applying. I put it in. I didn't even get an interview. Do you know, I was so disappointed. I remember saying to Gilbert, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay home and just raise the kids till they're 18. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God had put, He had told me, He's called me into the marketplace. But through, then it was another 2 years, then that same position came up again. And I actually did not even consider to apply for it. Till someone's like, aren't you going to apply? I'm like, no, I tried it. I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. And I did it. I didn't want to. But then, which is why I'm saying it is good to go to the Holy Spirit and ask. So I went and asked, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, should I apply it? He's like, yes. So I worked on my application, put it in, went for the interview. I was meant to have 4 people, but there was 5 people on the panel, which is pretty intimidating. And they spent about a month deliberating, trying to figure out which way to go. Anyway, I did end up getting the job. However, one of the panel members came to me and said to me, he's like, do you know you are the least qualified to get that job? And he said, the reason why we took so long is because one of the panel members was adamant, you are not the right person for that job. But somehow, God pushed me forward. Last week, I actually got an award from my work for doing an exceptional job. But I'm telling you this story because now when I look back, the first time I was not ready. The first time I was not ready to handle the pressures of the job. I was not ready to even handle the relationships of nurturing someone else. If God had made me get that job the first time, honestly, I would have hurt people. I would have broken people because I would have been just so brash, like, you know, just get on with it. But through that 2-year period between the 2 jobs, God kept working on my character. He kept refining my character. He kept teaching me to see beyond, you know, just the natural and try to get deeper into like what's happening with people. Sometimes I've stepped out the wrong timing, you know. Things haven't worked because, yes, God has spoken something to me. So it could be the same as you. God has spoken something to you, but you stepped out the wrong time. Like I've said, there's things we need to do in summer. There's things we need to do in winter. But if you're doing summer things in winter, it doesn't mean what you're doing is wrong. It just means the timing of that thing is not right. Sometimes when things haven't worked, it's because there's disobedience. You know, God's telling me something. I use my natural reasoning to do it another way. And then I fail. Like I said, the key in this conception stage is do not allow your natural reasoning to talk you out from what God is telling you to do. The other reason has been I've actually not sought God's direction for that particular thing. I've just assumed this is how He wants me to do it. Just assume this is the way I've done it. Like Moses, you know, when God tells him to get to the water, he goes and strikes it. But that was not the instruction that God had given him. And it actually cost him. He never ended up getting he did see the promised land, but he never set foot on that promised land for just that act of disobedience. You know, there is a healing anointing in this place this morning. God wants to heal some of the brokenness. God wants to heal all the brokenness. whether he heals us or not is dependent on whether we're giving him access, whether we're opening it up. So I just want to give us a few steps of, if there's disappointment in your life, take these steps back to your house and just, this is how you deal with disappointment. The first thing is you need to get into the presence of God. Find a quiet place and just get into that presence of God. The second thing you do is you pray in tongues. The reason why you would pray in tongues is when we pray in tongues, we're praying the perfect will of God. So you actually just spend time. One, it clears your mind. Two, it connects your spirit immediately to the Spirit of God. And then third thing, pour out your heart. Don't hold back. God's created you the way you are. He's created me the way I am. He knows how you express yourself. That's okay. There's this thing sometimes as Christian that we think we have to be proper with God. No, it says come just as you are. So you can say, Jesus, I feel disappointed that I stepped out and did that thing and I failed. Jesus, I feel shame. Jesus, I feel rejected. Jesus, I feel isolated. I feel hurt. I feel used. I feel like I wasted my time. He is our Heavenly Father and He cares for us. You know, actually naming the feeling that you're feeling is the start of that healing process. Is the start of that healing process. Because sometimes we're so clouded, we don't even know what it is that the feeling that we're feeling. I'll read Psalm 13 just to give you an example. This is David, and he's speaking to God. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eye, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. So having that honesty with God. So whatever it is, the disappointment that is in your past, whatever feeling it is causing you to feel right now, you need to go to God and just be raw and just say, God, this is what that made me feel. And I still feel it now. And it's put, I've got a guard around because I do not want to experience that pain again. And then the fourth thing. So the first thing is get in the presence of God. Second thing, praying in tongues as it helps you to quieten the voice of reason. Third thing, pour out your heart to God and express your feelings to Him. The fourth thing is actually ask God why things happened the way they did. So go back to that situation and just ask and say, God, where were you when that was happening to me? Where were you in the picture, you know, when they were saying those words to me? I think last time I shared that, you know, when my parents divorced, I remember actually the day my mom left. She came to my room. I was 6 years old. She came to my room. Actually, seven years old. She came to my room and she says to me, Tawana, I'm going to speak to you as a grown person and I'm really, really sorry I have to do this. And she says, I am leaving your father, but I want you to look after your two brothers. And I never knew that that day had impacted my life. And it's only last year, as you know, I was going through some of this. And God's like, I had experienced abandonment in my childhood. I'm like, God, no way. You know, I grew up in a loving family. Once my parents were separated, life was good because the fighting stopped. You know, everything, it was great. And God said to me that day, I assumed the role of an adult. So as I was going through this healing process, I asked him, I'm like, Jesus, where were you? And he said to me, I was with you. I had my arms around you. And I was saying to you, I am here for you. You do not need to be that adult. You do not need to be that grown up, because forever you'll be my child. You know, I will carry you. And do you know, hearing those words, as simple as they are, release me from this assumed responsibility that I have to fix everything and just allow things to just happen. Sometimes just let things happen. So we need to ask God why things happened the way they did. So ask him why that relationship failed. Ask him why you even didn't get into the university or you didn't get that job that you were asking him for. Ask Jesus where he was and what he was saying to you. Because it says in the word, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So wherever you are, God is there with you. Wherever you are, God is there with you. Sometimes because of our actions, you know, Pastor Tony's always sharing how he always tells people that if they want to go to the nightclub or whatever, he's like, take Jesus with you. And sometimes, you know, Jesus is there. But because of what we're doing, he's just like just to the side, waiting for us to say, Lord, I need your help. And he will come and rescue us. And you know, I'll just show that picture. So what the healing anointing of God does, when we are broken, when we are hurt, this is a picture God gave me. This is like how our hearts are. And the healing anointing is like the rain that comes. So that's like in the desert, and it hasn't rained for a while. But once it starts to rain, those cracks start to mend from the bottom up. After it rains for a couple of hours, that completely, there's no cracks there. All that is joined together is back. And that is the same with the healing. The healing oil, you know, when you hear healing rain is falling down, that's exactly what we're singing, like saying, God, just let your healing anointing fall. Let it just fall and heal those cracks. And there is the anointing right now for that healing to take place. Or it could be like, you know, when you've hurt yourself and you put healing balm, that is exactly what the healing anointing does. So it's fear or disappointment holding you back. Today I ask you to give access to the Holy Spirit, to that hurt, to that disappointment, to that failed relationship, to that, you know, you're stuck maybe between careers. You know, you're like, God, I've gone through uni, I've paid all this money, but now I'm just in limbo, in between nothing. Just give that to God this morning. Like I said, the key in this season is not to be limited by your natural reasoning. So regardless of what has happened in the past, it doesn't mean that's your destiny and that's how your life will always be like. I'll just get us on our feet. So today I encourage everyone just to catch the heart of God for your life. Just actually just catch and say, God, what is it that you want me to do the remainder of this year? What is it that you want me to do? And second question you ask God this morning is there anything in my life right now that is holding me back from stepping into that thing? Like I've said, it could be brokenness, it could be unforgiveness, resentment, you know, that disappointment. Disappointment is such a powerful emotion that can hinder us from doing a lot of things that God has called us to. So I want to encourage everyone to dream again despite those past failures. And I also want to encourage us to allow the Father to bring and instill hope again. Like God said to Abraham in Genesis 15:5, which we read, after taking him outside, he said, look up at the sky and count stars. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I, look up to that promise, to that picture that God has given you. You know, that excitement that you had, that hope that you had? What was that picture? What were those words that God spoke? Hold on to those words right now. So what is that you're fearful to dream? Or what is that thing that you're so afraid to step out again? That you're like, nah, I've done that, tried it. Is it your past that is limiting you? Is it words that have been spoken to you by someone else? Or is it even words that you've told yourself? How many times have you said to yourself, I will never do that again? Sometimes it's our words that ensnare us from actually stepping out and going into that next level. So right now, like I've said, the healing power of God is in this place. And just in your own words, begin to pour out your heart to God. Like I said, be authentic, be raw. Begin, I'll get the music up so, you know, no one can hear what you're saying. Begin to pour out your heart to God this morning.